with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
Yes TV channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Six minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang. Welcome to the Clement Magnatella Show on this Tuesday, the 11th of March. Thank you for being with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. I actually hope you are at least doing better than Kate, the Princess of Wales, the future British Queen. There is a whole meltdown in the UK. I don't know if you've been following the story. There's a meltdown in the UK and other parts of the world, possibly here as well, because Kate edited a picture that she posted on Mother's Day. Can you imagine? A whole meltdown. People are up in arms. How dare she manipulate the picture as if they don't edit their own pictures? The picture has been recalled by major newspapers. In fact, the term that they use in the UK to recall pictures is to kill it. So it's been killed. It's been taken down by major news agencies. And I see now the Princess of Wales has apologized. So she hasn't been seen in public. Here's the context. She hasn't been seen in public since she underwent an abdominal surgery in January, which fueled speculation about her health. So that's why a picture of her, and I guess how it appears, was of such great interest. But poor Kate says she was just experimenting with editing. It was really minor edits, guys, if you look at the picture. It's nothing big. And there's a whole scandal. I'm sure they're going to call it Editgate in the UK. So if you think you've got problems, Kate is in trouble for editing a picture. Spare thought for the Princess of Wales. How bizarre. So the IEC gave us an update last night on the voters' role and the process that will now unfold ahead of elections. They told us that there are 27.7 million registered voters, the highest since the dawn of democracy. There are people who are eligible to cast their ballots, and that number is at 27.7 million. These are people that have registered. But that doesn't mean that all the 27 million people who have registered will be voting, which means you and I need to do everything possible to convince all those that have registered to go cast their ballots. Gauteng remains the highest voting block, followed by KZN and the Eastern Cape. So you're going to see politicians spending more time in those provinces, kissing your babies, having chisanyama with you. The president was in another area now. Nakukilewana. What's hukukawana in English? The president was at someone's house, guys, during campaigning. He was watching TV with them. I love campaigning season. Yeah? Wouldn't you be honored? The president of the republic went to one of the houses, sat down on a couch. One of the little toddlers was sitting on his lap. One of the toddlers in the home was sitting on his lap, and they were all having a chat. Because, oh, the president cares, loves South Africans and visits them and sits on their couch. Gauteng, KZN, Eastern Cape, buckle up. It's about to get real. They're going to be kissing the babies. They're going to be having chisanyama lunches with you. Because there, that's where the bigger chunk of the votes are going to be coming from. So out of the 27 million registered voters, 15 million are female. That's according to the IEC. That's about 55% of the voters' roll. When it comes to younger voters, those between the ages of 18 and 39, that age band accounts for 42%. So that's about 11.7 million voters on the roll. There are other South Africans as well that have registered to vote that are living in other countries. I think in London, there are 19,000 South Africans who are going to be voting. There are many in The Hague as well, in Dubai, in Dublin, in Wellington, Abu Dhabi, New York, Washington, Berlin, etc., etc. I'd like to know, where are you going to be voting from? If you are in the diaspora, if you're not in South Africa, you're a South African living in another country, have you registered to vote? Where are you going to be voting from? And who are you going to be voting from? Have you decided or are you still deciding? 011-883-0702. That's how we kick off the 702 open line. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. In a moment, I'm going to be telling you about a story I read on the front page of the Soweto newspaper this morning. The most heartbreaking story I've read in a very long time. A toddler who was raped by her father. The mother of that toddler opens a case. The father is sentenced to 2 life terms. And when she shares the news with her own family, the reaction is to beat her up. Because how dare she open a case against someone who was financially taking care of them? I'm going to tell you about that story. I'll bring in the police as well. I'm bringing the reporter, Janet Chabalala, who wrote the story for the Soweto newspaper as well, to give us some background. Hours.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Manti on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, I'll be voting in London and I'm voting for the EFF. Ah, fighter Manti. Amazing. Amelia says, Clem, I'm in The Hague. I'm even helping as a volunteer on the day. I think I may vote for Sarah or Bossa. Oh, incredible. And then another one says, good morning, Clement in 702. I am also in Abu Dhabi and I'll be casting my ballot as well on the 29th of May. Great. It's great to hear from people in the diaspora who are South Africans but are based in other countries and they've registered to vote. Where are you? And who are you going to be voting for? 15 minutes after 9.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Okay, before I tell you about that front page on the Soweto newspaper, tomorrow we're going to do our first 702 elections town hall in Pretoria. I'm so excited about it. 702 is hosting its first elections town hall meeting in Pretoria. We're going to have several town hall meetings around the province ahead of elections in May. And I would like to invite you to come and be part of the town hall meetings. These elections, as I've always said, are not about politicians. They're about you and I. And I want to hear from you. 702 wants to hear from you. What are your frustrations? What are your service delivery concerns? Your frustrations, are they with political parties governing your province or the country? Right? Because these are provincial and national elections. But we also want to hear what the parties governing your province and the country are doing right and where you want them to improve. So we want to hear from you. You can be a member of whatever political party. You can come in your party t-shirt if you want. You can be an ordinary civilian, not affiliated to any party. You can be an independent candidate. It doesn't matter who you are or which party you're affiliated with. Just come, let's have a conversation about the state of this nation. What's working? What's not working? What needs to change? And how can we as communities effect that change? Bring your friends as well. Bring your neighbors. We've secured a big venue in Garankuwa. So we're going to be at the Garankuwa Community Hall tomorrow. So the Garankuwa Community Hall tomorrow, that's in Zone 1. It's located next to a Chisanyama. Maybe we can go break bread there after the town hall. The elections town hall meeting is going to start at 9 a.m. until 12, and it will be live here on 702 on my show. It's going to be streamed live on YouTube. It's going to be streamed live on Facebook as well, so you can watch it from home if you're unable to join us. Please arrive no later than 8:30 in the morning so we can sort out the sitting arrangements before we go live at 9 o'clock. We've invited the Premier of Gauteng, we've invited the Mayor of Tshwane, we've invited other big political parties in the province and the new parties as well. We want you to be part of that discussion because you are at the center of these elections. These elections are about you. So please come through and let's talk together with these political parties. Garankuwa Community Hall. That's where the town hall is taking place. It's in Zone 1. It's located next to a Chisanyama. Hope to see you there tomorrow.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
So there's a heartbreaking story on the front page of the Soweto newspaper today, written by Jeanette Chabalala. It's heartbreaking because it involves the rape of a toddler. It's also heartbreaking because it reveals the toxicity that sometimes exists in our families. I'm going to try and explain as slowly as possible what the story says. And I want us to talk about how our families often fail victims of rape. Because what they care about is protecting the reputation of the family or of the person that is involved, or protecting the perpetrator because he is the breadwinner. And that is revolting. And just please note, the story may be disturbing to some of the listeners. So this 11-month-old toddler was raped by her father while her mother had gone to help the neighbor with something. The toddler's mother realized this when she was bathing her. She realized that she was bleeding, and she was swollen on her private parts, and she noticed that there was some semen on this 11-month-old toddler. So she told her husband, "Hey, I think the child has been raped. I think we should go to the police station." That's what she told the husband, the partner. And the husband said, no, let's rather go to a traditional healer instead. When they got there, the traditional healer actually told them, no, you guys need to go to the clinic. So the husband ended up confessing to raping the child. So the woman opened a case of rape against this partner. The partner was then arrested, so she started receiving death threats for opening a case against her partner. Now, the Attridgeville Magistrates Court has sentenced her partner to 2 life sentences for the rape. So this woman went and told her family about the sentence. And guess what happened when she told them that justice has been served, that her partner is in jail for raping their daughter? Just guess what happens when you told your own mother and father that the man who raped my child, our child, is now sentenced to jail and won't see the light of day anytime soon. When she told them, her mother and brother beat her up so bad that she ended up in hospital. Her back was affected. Her hands were injured. Her buttocks, she couldn't sit down. They asked her why she would do that, knowing that the man is the provider. In fact, her mother said, "Why did you open the case? This man was probably bewitched." And the mother said, "Now the poor man is going to spend the rest of his life in jail." So her mother and father have since been arrested. The mother told Jeanette Chabalala, who wrote the story for the Sowetan, the mother told the journalist that her family wanted her to drop the charges because the man took care of everyone. In fact, there's a quote here on the Soweto newspaper where the mother of the child says, and I quote here, "The father took care of everyone because I'm unemployed. Him and my mother were in a stockfell together. They used to give each other 2,500 every month. But he raped his child, and that did not sit well with me. I needed justice for my child. When she grows up, I want to let her know that I fought for her." End quote. That's what this woman has said. And I worry about her well-being now and who's going to be caring for the family. And I really hope she and this kid are going to be fine, because clearly her own family is deserting her for opening a case against a man who has raped his own child. How toxic is this woman and this woman's and one of her children, the brother of this toddler's mom? Because they're the ones that beat her up. And I don't think this is a separate, isolated incident. There are families out there that are so toxic that you cannot talk about rape. You cannot come out and say, "My dad raped me. My uncle, Pastor Mamang, Cousin Mamang raped me." Because they only care about protecting the image of the family. They don't want the dirty laundry to be hung in public for everyone to see. Have you ever dealt with a family like that? That is so toxic that they don't care about the trauma that exists about who's perpetrated what criminal acts have transpired. They care about how do we protect each other. It's like the ANC. They want to unite. They want to close ranks. Such families are so toxic. And they are a reason so many people today are traumatized, because there are things that happened to them when they were young and they've never been able to talk to their loved ones about. Or when they've tried to talk to their loved ones about them, there was no care in the world to care for them, to find help for them. The only obsession they had was to protect the reputation and the name of the family, was to protect the perpetrator, because that's the person who cares for us financially. Shame on such families.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Magnatella
on 702.
Morning, Clement. Pawalo Novenzo from. Clement, you know such things, man, they make us to be angry, really so angry, because other families, they don't think out of money. Guys, money is not everything. Money isn't everything. Money is not everything. That's what I can say, Clement. That man was sick, like sick from her, his emotions up until he was just sick. Pabalo Norenji Farm.
The NPA's regional spokesperson, Lumka Mahanjana, actually sent us a voice note. I'll play it to you in a moment. Let's go to Tohoyando now. Good morning. Hello, Finiona.
Hi,
Fiona. How are you?
I didn't catch that. Okay. I used to run the Toyando Victim Empowerment Program for 20 years.
Mm.
And when you talk about the attitudes, it's not only families.
Mm.
We had a case where a child, a baby, was left in the care of her father, whilst the mother took the 9-year-old to the Chiladzini Hospital because he was bleeding from the anus. Mm. Now, we can all reach conclusions about that. The police, sorry, subsequently, the police commissioner for Limpopo, this is some years back, okay, went on the radio and said that they were thinking of charging the mother with child neglect because she'd left the baby with the baby's father. Now, what does that tell you about attitudes? But there's something even more important, and if I can't raise it now, I'm begging you to call me back.
Mm.
Because people are not aware that SAPs are not using a 14-year-old Act of Parliament to track not just rape perpetrators, but also criminals. And it's a national scandal, but nobody is paying any attention. If I could tell you quickly, when they find fingerprints, if they even bother to look for them,
mm-hmm.
they check them only against their own database, the SAPS database, which only has record of known criminals or people who have been investigated for some reason. 14 years ago, an Act of Parliament gave them access to Home Affairs database, which obviously has the most comprehensive database in the country,
mm-hmm.
okay? To this day, they're not using it. Or as one person said, one investigator told me, oh no, we sometimes use it if it's a high-profile case.
Mm, yeah, but that's...
Some woman in a rural area that happened to be raped, and that guy is not on the police database, then forget it.
Because that's not high profile. They're not going to. We'll follow that. We'll follow up on that, Fiona. That's. And thank you for calling, Fiona, from someone who has actually, you know, done work around these rape cases. You've handled rape cases, and you know, this thing is actually quite. This is not an isolated incident, as we said, guys. if I cannot live, if women out there cannot leave their children with their own fathers, what does that mean? Like, women out there must now be scared that if I leave this child with their own father, there are chances that they can be raped. And a woman can be charged for neglect because you left your child with their own father? What kind of society are we? If that's where things are, because what? Women are supposed to now carry the children everywhere they go, take them to church, take them to work, take them to a neighbor's home when there's a ceremony there, because you don't trust your own husband, your own brother, your uncle, the neighbor.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
25 minutes before 10 o'clock. It's the 702 open line. We're talking about the story that the Sowetan is running on their front page. An 11-month-old child was raped by her father. And the mother of the child went against the advice of her own family and opened a case against him. And he has now been sentenced to 2 life terms. And after that sentencing, she went home to tell the family, finally, there's justice. This man has been sentenced. And the family beat her up that she ended up in hospital. Because how dare she ensure that there's justice for the child? How dare she send the perpetrator to jail who was financially responsible for caring for this woman and the rest of the family? And the mom even said to her own child, look at what you've done. That poor man now is going to spend the rest of his life in jail. What kind of a mother says that about a man who has raped their own grandchild? And I'm saying this is not an isolated incident. You know, there are families you probably know out there, or maybe you come from one that has been so toxic that when there's something that has befallen the family, when there's someone who's been raped, when there's something that could embarrass the family, that thing has had to be hidden. Because you cannot hang the dirty laundry. You cannot do that about the family and destroy the reputation of the family like that. That's just shocking. Marianne, you're calling us from Pretoria. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Clement, I'd like to comment about the issue that you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a former prosecutor with the NPA.
Mm.
I used to work in the sexual offences court. And my experience, which is like more than 5 years ago, was that a lot of families were willing to take money from perpetrators in order to withdraw cases against the perpetrators. So if the accused person approached the family and indicated that he's willing to pay 10,000 rand, to the family would be willing to withdraw that case against that accused person. And those were cases that we came across on a daily basis. I'm not sure of what the experience is now or what the NPA is doing with such matters right now, but this is what used to happen about six, seven years ago.
Oh, Marianne, I cannot. You know, this woman was offered 150 rand to drop the case.
It's done, Clement. It's something that is very rife. And because of people are poverty stricken, 5,000 rand is a lot of money, you know, to a lot of people. And they're willing to accept that in order to withdraw these cases.
Unbelievable. Marianne, thank you so much for calling us with your own experience as a former prosecutor. Lucky, you're calling us from Pretoria West. Hi. Pretoria
thanks,
East,
Clement.
That is.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Clement, there's something that worries me about this thing, because this kind of behavior makes it difficult for us as fathers to relate with our daughters. The mother has to constantly look where you're going with the child because of this kind of people. In the main, this kind of thing is because people go around and look for reasons or for ways to get rich quickly. Some go to countries like Malawi and them trying to look for reason. And these things, they are told that if you want to get rich, this is what you have to do. If you can listen to this whole story, the whole theme around it is money. This man was looking after us. This man was having stock fed with the mother of the person that was beaten up. So at the center of this is the issue of money. People go and look for snakes and all these very strange things, and they are told that this is, I mean, an 11-month-old baby. Tell me, what is it that came into this man's mind? And at the end of the day, when this case goes to court, it will be said that, no, he must be taken to a psychiatrist, he must be checked whether he's of sound mind and all these things. It has got nothing to do with one being of sound mind or not being of sound mind. Mm.
It has nothing to do with pleasure. What kind of an animal are you? A disgusting animal to look at an 11-month-old child and think you can. It's not about pleasure. It cannot be. It's about abuse. It's about exerting power. It's about assaulting. What kind of an animal are you that you look at a child that young whose body parts are still developing? And you think you can violate them in that manner? I'm getting a number of... some people are DMing me asking if there's a way we can help this woman. And I did indicate to the journalist, this was an off-record chat I had with the journalist, that I've asked if the woman is okay, if she needs some kind of help and how I can assist. So if you want to assist as well, I'm just waiting. So we would have had the woman on air. The problem is you also don't want to reveal the identity of the child. If you have her on air, people can tell of her voice and they can make out who she is. So it's a bit tricky, but what we can do is we'll work in the background to try and see how we can, if you are interested. I see a number of tweets. Some people are DMing me on Instagram as well to see how they can help. So we'll try and mobilize that. And then we will, in the background, via this journalist, try and get the assistance that you want to give to this woman. I think she's going to need it. Her own family has deserted her. The man who used to care for this child and her is now in jail. Let's do what we can. Here's a voice note of the NPA's regional spokesperson, Lumka Mahanjana, about what happened in this case.
The Pretoria High Court sentenced a father to 2 life terms for rape and attempted murder of his 11-month-old daughter. He was also given 2 years of direct imprisonment for defeating the ends of justice. The court ordered that his name be added on the National Register for Sexual Offenders. The man raped his 11-month-old baby when he was left alone with the child while the mother had gone to assist a neighbor. The Director of Public Prosecutions, Advocate Sibongile Mzinyathi, applauds the work of the police and a prosecutor that led to the conviction and sentencing of a father who committed a gruesome act towards his child. He also wants to assure the community that the NPA takes matters committed against the most vulnerable seriously. Sentencing of a father who committed a gruesome act towards his child. He also wants to assure the community that the NPA takes matters committed against the most vulnerable seriously.
Listed her sister in Joburg, and she was raped during the process. They've got a child now. I think the child should be around 28 or so, because I know the woman is 42. So, yeah. And it has been swept under the carpet. Nobody said anything. The child is growing. The family is in check. These things are just happening. I mean, it's not an isolated case. There's a whole lot of them happening throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my comment.
Thank you, Jacob. Thank you for calling. Maziva, you're in the Johannesburg South. Hi.
Hey, Clement, how are you?
Zolung, I'm fit. Zolung.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm always calling in my head, but I've called today. Listen, there was a lady who called, was it a year or two ago? It must have been on this show, the afternoon, I'm not so sure. But she raised the complaint. She was raising the issue that she divorced her own husband. Why? Because while butting their daughter, he then says, passes a comment to say to the wife, now I understand why men rape these little kids. She divorced her own husband. Why? Because while butting their daughter, he then says, passes a comment to say to the wife, now I understand why men rape these little kids. That's my comment for the day.
Yeah, I mean, guys. Yeah.
Things like this are happening, Clement. I was also once involved in the same situation. My sister was abused by the husband. The husband came and had the audacity to face us as my sister's side family. He told us straight that he's beating my sister and he's sorry. And I was like, no way you're going to come to us and tell us that. Guess who the person was hated? I was hated by the whole family. So yeah, I'm not surprised. Fiso, Richard Spain.
So Clement, you know what? On my side, I've started something whereby as Amachita like us, I started something whereby we start to discuss amongst ourselves. Okay, there are ladies involved as well, but this thing of 11-month baby. I mean, come on, man. All right, guys, come on. But for you to no. Askuza nini. No, this is unacceptable. This is way unacceptable. You know what? Yeah, gender-based violence, I understand the whole thing, but now this is going way, way too far. I'm literally angry at us, gents. I'm literally, let's look at ourselves in the mirror, gents. Come on, Bafit, we can do better. This is way unacceptable. Way unacceptable. Khotso from Don Park.
Also, what's unacceptable is also the behavior of our families. How are we okay with having someone do something so terrible against a toddler who is so defenseless? And we think it's okay for us to want to try and protect that person. And this happens a lot in the families. It happens a lot in the families where they want to protect the perpetrators. There are people out there who are listening to us now who are triggered by this conversation because they remember a time when an uncle raped them. They remember a time when a neighbor or a dad touched them inappropriately and they were not able to share that with their loved ones. Or if they did, and they had the courage to do that, they were told to shush. What kind of a society are we? If we can tolerate BS like that, what kind of a society are we? And men, what kind of men are we that we can look at a child who is 11 months old? 11 months. King Peter, you're calling us from Sandton. Hi.
My brother, hi. How are you? I can hear the pain on your voice. And as a father who has a daughter, I feel the pain. My comment is, men, we are protectors of our families. When our family feels unsafe around us, we've lost the plot. So to the government, I think all men who are found guilty of rape should be castrated with immediate effect. You know, I got a 22-year-old daughter who finds it safe to sleep next to her father on the bed because she knows it's my daddy. How do you as a man find your daughter sexually attractive? You must be a sick person. You must be sick. We need help. We really, really need help as men. We need to have workshops and all these things continually to train these men. We are living in a sick country where people think they can do whatever they want to young kids. It's unacceptable. This person must be castrated, Clement. I'm so hurt, man. 11 months old? Really? Is that what we've become? We're worse than animals because animals don't do that.
King Peter in Sandton, thanks for the call.
Good morning, Clement. Good morning, 702. I am reeling from what you just read, because no mother should ever have to face what that woman went through. No mother should leave their child in the care of their father and for the father to rape an 11-month-year-old and then turn around and say it should not be reported. And when she does, the family turns against her and assaults her. In a situation like this, Clement, she must cut them off. They are family only in name, but they did not fight for their grandchild, for their niece. They chose not to. It was more important that they are fed. So that child, that baby became a sacrificial lamb. Absolutely unacceptable. And a crying shame on that man and his family. Nogwazi, Walkerville.
Thanks, Nogwazi. Here's a clip of Jeanette Chabalala, who is the journalist who wrote the story. I was asking about the mom. And just to clarify, the mother of this, the mother and the brother of this woman who opened the case have been arrested. I think the producers are saying some people are calling asking about that. So they've been arrested. I don't know if they've been released yet, but I'm just listening to what Jeanette Chabalala had to say to us about an update on this story. How's the child now?
So the child, she's now 1 year and 10 months. She is being cared for by the mother. So she's doing quite well. According to the mother, she's doing quite well. Mm. And last Friday, obviously, the father was sentenced to 2 life terms behind bars. So it was for the rape and attempted murder.
Yeah.
And also defeating the yes.
And then the parents, I mean, the mother and the brother of this woman who opened a case against her partner, because you told us that they beat her up. Were they arrested by the police? Because in your article, it says this woman ended up in hospital.
Oh, yes, definitely, Clement. So the most shocking thing is that, so last Friday, the woman couldn't go to court. So she got a call from the IO telling her about the verdict. Then she told her own mother. And we understand that the mother's face just changed. All of a sudden, she changed, and then she was like, you see now, the poor child is going to spend the rest of his life in jail because of what you've done. You should have just withdrew the case.
And poor child. And by poor child, she's referring to a man that has raped her own grandchild.
Exactly. So now they started attacking her, her own mother and brother. They attacked her, and members of the community managed to take her to what is this, the police station, and to also take her to the hospital where she spent an overnight there.
Sure. Yeah. Jeanette Chabalala, thank you so much for helping us understand just what happened here. And thank you for just uncovering this crazy story, and I hope the mom and the child are going to be okay. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kenny.
Sure.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Siyabonga, you're calling us from Tembisa. Good morning.
Clement, good morning, my man. How are you?
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
Clement, my comment, I would like to say, speak up to the woman who has opened the case to this man. You know, there are a lot of other women here in South Africa who are sitting on top of these things, that their partners are raping their stepchildren, or their partners are raping their children or family members. It is high time for us South Africans to take a stand. This has nothing to do with being witchcraft or what. It's just a sick man who, I don't know what he was thinking, and the jail sentence is what he deserves it. But my point is, let other women stand up.
Yeah. Thank you for your call. Joyce and Midrand, hi. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Simon.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've just had my say. I thought maybe it's recorded. Yeah, I am very amazed. The name castrate is not even, I don't know whether it will exist. But as for the family, I can imagine. I wonder how the old grandmother and the other sisters. But we as South Africans, or maybe all the women in the world, would never, never allow such a person to be in the community. Mm. He must go to the nearest church and he must go in the darkest cell. But the family, I wonder how old the grandmother is. I'm telling you, she must just go wherever she wants to go.
Joyce in Midrand, thank you. Sifako in Mabopane, hi.
Yeah, Clement, how's it?
Sure, go ahead.
That other guy said we are living in a sick community. The guy is very sick. But something that I would like to tell is the unjustness of our justice system. How can a person do that to a 9-month-old child and still go to have 2 life sentences in jail where the mother of the child's tax will support the same guy in jail? It's very much unfair for the justice system. Some of these crimes need to be reviewed. You know, sometimes forgiveness is there, but a kind of a thing that happens. And you must remember, in the history of our country, this is not the first one.
Yeah. Sifako, thank you. In Mabopane.
Get those the assistant.
Clem, good morning. I understand your disgust.
I think she's going to need it. And her own family is deserted.
Currently, we're going through a similar situation with my sister-in-law. She brought a child into a marriage, and that child has been raped ever since she was 4. And now she's in grade 10. She fell pregnant. That's how we found out. And the mother doesn't want us to report the case to the police. And she blames her daughter. And it's sickening, Clement. It's really, really sickening.
Clement, you want to know what a sick society we live in? I'm a medical doctor. Let me tell you about 2 cases without divulging patient information. And I'd like to stay anonymous, please. I had one case where a newborn baby, father took it, and this is a story anyway that we got. The child came in with its throat slit all the way down, like it had been someone had tried to slaughter it, and allegedly it was the father. Second one was a baby who was burned. Father was fighting with the mother. The father took the baby by the feet and dipped it into boiling hot water, like you would do with a samosa or something like that. This is how sick our society is. It makes your blood boil.